afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. You can also visit our website at www.theorganicview.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter to find out about upcoming guests, features, events, and other shows on our network. If you have any questions or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email to questions@theorganicview.com. Today, my guest is Alice Shabakoff, and we're going to be talking about her best-selling book, Poison for Profit: The Toxic Assault on Our Children. Now, Alice is an advocate who's been working diligently to raise awareness about the dangers of the chemical use in our environment, as well as inside our own homes. She educates the public about how these toxic chemicals have impacted our health and what we can do about it. As the author of Poison for Profit, which she actually co-authored with her husband, Philip, both she and her husband revealed that the children of the baby boomers, they're basically the first to be raised in what's truly a toxified world, and they had the highest rates of birth defects, asthma, cancer, autism, and a frightening range of other neurological illnesses, from ADHD to mental retardation and other serious chronic illnesses that previous generations had. So, you know, she actually goes into detail about many of the people that she and her husband had interviewed, and the stories are really, really heartbreaking. And the thing is that when you read this book, you can really identify with the situation that each person is experiencing and actually take a step into what their life is about and understand the heartache that they are experiencing unnecessarily. So I would like to welcome to the show Alice Shabakoff. Good afternoon, Alice, and thank
Good
you for coming back.
Good afternoon, June, it's so nice to be with you again.
Lovely to have you, Alice, and I just want to quickly send out a thank you to my dear friend Kristen, who introduced me to you, and I am just very grateful for that introduction. I mean, Kristen has been such a big fan of yours, and just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to her. I know she's going to be listening to this podcast, and it's always nice to show your gratitude. So, Kristen, wherever you are, thank you, and just know that both Alice and I think the world of you.
That is the truth. Kristen is like the parents that we wrote about in our book. Every single one of them has a child or in some cases multiple children who have been harmed by something in their daily lives, and yet these parents take such good care of their kids. They don't just throw up their hands, and then they begin to fight back. And this is just what we need in this country, is every parent, every mother, every grandmother, as I am a grandmother, we have to get a little bit hot under the collar and make sure that this stops happening to our kids.
Now, speaking of which, Alice, you actually began writing this book with your husband because of one of your grandchildren, correct?
Yes, exactly. It was our first grandchild who, shortly after he was born, it was clear that there was something going on with him, either mentally or emotionally. Even as a little kid, he was a very difficult child, a lot of repetitive motion, a lot of anger, a lot of uncontrolled temper. Very smart child, amazing grasp of language, ability to express himself. Nonetheless, he just couldn't control his behavior, and he was later diagnosed with ADHD and something called nonverbal learning disorder. Every month they seemed to come up with a new label. It was then we noticed that all the boys in his neighborhood, and in fact it was the boys, not as many girls, who seemed to have something wrong going on with them, something mainly emotional but also in some cases physical. There was an enormous amount, like nothing we had ever seen when our own kids were born. And we began to look into, well, what are the statistics, and, oh my God, what are the reasons? And that was the birth of our book, and we got amazing foundation support to do the research. It took us 7 years of research all across the country, interviewing families, interviewing scientists, researchers, parents, And then another interesting thing, June, was that as we worked and worked, parents started finding out about us. I don't know what kind of an underground network there is, but parents found out about us and started to phone us. That was even before email was so popular.
And before we had social media.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's hard to believe that once upon a time, you couldn't just pick up a phone anywhere and make a phone call. You actually had to find a payphone if you were traveling. And, you know, as far as email, that just, you know, wasn't even there.
I think they found us because they knew who our publisher was, and some of them reached us through my husband's former employer, which was the New York Times. My husband had covered environmental issues for the New York Times for 14 of the 32 years he worked there as a reporter. And so it wasn't hard for people to find us, but as you say, it wasn't email back then. And that's why we have so many amazing stories, because the parents actually reached out to find us. One of the most interesting stories, you know, we talk about toxic chemicals and what is happening in America, actually in the rest of the world too, about the growth in toxic chemicals is astounding. But one of the most interesting parents who contacted us had a daughter who was harmed by nuclear waste in their drinking and shower water.
Wow.
This was outside of Chicago. I mean, when you look at what's happening in Japan, but our nuclear industry says, oh, it can't happen here, it is happening here already. A lot of the water around the country is polluted by the same kind of water that was the cause of this child's brain cancer. And in their community, because of the leak of this chemical into the community water, there was a huge number of kids, called a cluster of kids with cancer. Eventually the family moved away, but it was they contacted us, the mother contacted us, and we weren't even thinking of going to covering nuclear, but because of her, we did expand the book to include that.
Wow.
And I don't want people to think that nuclear is the answer to all of our energy problems, when right now nobody knows really how to make it safe, even
well,
on a daily basis.
It's interesting that you bring that up. I remember just growing up in the Catskills and just hearing firsthand about what was going on in Pennsylvania with Three Mile Island. I remember that very vividly, and just thinking to myself, my goodness, these people are being instructed, boil your water today, you know, don't drink the water today, or every other day it was something. And I was a little kid, and all I thought to myself was, who would want nuclear energy anywhere?
Yeah.
And then it's funny, I had a couple of friends that had moved to New York that were saying, oh, you know, they should make nuclear more available in this country and this and that. And I would say, well, you know what? This is my experience. If you want this in your backyard, then be my guest. I don't want it near me.
And that's right.
You know, people tend to think about the financial gain when it comes to using very dangerous technology, but it almost seems as though they're willing to risk a lot as long as it won't have a direct impact on them in the immediate future. I mean, it's great to say, oh, yeah, let's invest in nuclear, when there's no nuclear plants located anywhere near where your home is. But once there's an option or an opportunity for it to become part of your neighborhood, oh, you better believe.
Never mind.
They tell about it.
Right. So that was why we reached out to nuclear. But mainly what we covered was the toxins that are a lot more common in daily lives, especially toxic chemicals, because you find them in every part of your life, your school, your community, the air you breathe. So we cover toxic chemicals and the products of unsinking mining, and what's happening now with the search for natural gas, which
fracking
is a whole new subject that we should talk about someday. So everything, whatever is happening, pesticides in the food, The modern technologies that have been employed without corporations doing due diligence on what they're going to do to the people of our nation. I've seen even people who run some of these corporations, their grandchildren have been harmed, and yet they will not say X and Y equals Z. So the profit motive seems to be so strong that it preempts any kind of caution for what it is doing to our kids. One of the things that we learned while we were doing research was that children are way different from adults in terms of the ability of their body to defend itself. The human body's defenses, and we have a lot of natural defenses, but they don't kick in until we're at least in our late teenage. So the exact same chemical that wouldn't hurt you or me can cause any kind of difficulty for a baby or a young child or even a 10-year-old. And the thing that is the most interesting new development is the knowledge of what happens to kids in the womb. We used to think that children were protected by the umbilical cord, and now we know that any kind of toxin can jump the umbilical cord and go right into the baby. There isn't one baby in America whose umbilical cord has been tested that you didn't find hundreds and hundreds of chemicals in their umbilical cord, and then you know that reached into the baby itself. And what is totally new science, they call it the fetal origin of disease, that often an illness can be seeded in the womb. The problem starts before birth, and it may not show up until later in life with breast cancer, prostate cancer, Alzheimer's. Why not understand that the growth in breast cancer, prostate cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all of these diseases that are multiplying as fast as kids' autism is, they are all caused by the same toxic chemicals and toxic products from manufacturing that enter our lives every day.
It just amazes me when you think about how many people you know,
yes,
that have cancer or have had an experience with cancer. I mean, it's getting to the point where almost everybody,
yes,
everybody's had some sort of experience. And if you think about it, 20 years ago, you didn't hear about any of this.
That's right.
And now it's the tide has turned, and now it's become the norm. And who do we have to thank for this? Of course, the companies that are producing these chemicals and are just putting this stuff on the market, knowing what can happen.
Yes.
And that's really disturbing.
Yes, it's just amazing, isn't it? And then when you look at what has happened, so that's what's happened to us as we age. All of these illnesses are showing themselves. And among kids of this generation, my grandchildren's kids, childhood cancer is up 67% from a generation ago. That is heartbreaking. Asthma, I never knew anybody. I think I knew one kid when I was a child myself who had asthma. And since my generation, it has tripled. And autism, as I think you know, is up 300%. And Down syndrome has increased. There isn't one facet of our life, of our health, that hasn't been affected by the toxins in our environment. There are things that I never heard of. Did you ever hear of endometriosis?
20 years ago, no.
Exactly. And now there's a whole new association, because a disease among young girls that is so common that they have had to band together to find out what's causing it. And what's causing it, again, is these toxics that permeate our daily lives.
Alice, let me ask you a question. When it comes to the home environment, what are some of the chemicals that people are not even aware of the fact that they really shouldn't have this stuff in their home environment?
Oh, my God. There's an entire chapter in our book, which we call Scene of the Crime, mm-hmm. and it walks you through your home and tells you where these bad products are that you would never have expected. One of my favorite ones is that if you buy a baby crib that isn't solid wood, mm-hmm. it's the wood particles are held together with formaldehyde.
Oh, my goodness.
Formaldehyde is the thing that they embalm people with, and it's an incredibly dangerous carcinogenic chemical. I think you may know that in our baby care products, some of the baby care products are made with PBCs and phthalates and other kinds of chemicals that they're not even listed on the label. I mean, look at the label of your baby products, and you will never find anything that will make you nervous because they're not required to put those chemicals on the label. In the water that comes out of our faucet to drink, the water that comes out of the shower, or the tub that you bathe the baby in, that water could be full of pharmaceutical products because our water purification systems, our city water purification system, mm-hmm. can't take common drugs out of the water. So you might find in your water, you would find tranquilizers in your baby's water.
Unbelievable. I mean, they're starting to, certain areas are starting to raise questions about it and also have the water just retested and analyzed for new types of chemicals that were never brought up before.
Yes.
It's just amazing how much we have allowed to happen in our own environment. I mean, we have allowed this. This isn't something that just kind of snuck in overnight. We allowed it. And the thing is that now that things have kind of gotten to the point where it's so out of control, it's almost too late, people are beginning to wake up and they're beginning to put their foot down and say, you know what, enough is enough.
Right,
I'm tired
and they're beginning to realize the connection between ill health in themselves, their kids, and what's in their daily lives. One of my favorite terrible stories is that in the Midwest, the favorite pesticide for crop control in corn areas is something called atrazine, and it causes a diminution of male fertility. And yet the people who use this crop pesticide will not stop using it, even though their fertility rates have dropped remarkably. So there are chemicals that will be local to your area because of the commercial activity going on. For example, in where GE was in Pittsfield, GE's headquarters was in Pittsfield. And it was manufacturing PCBs, which used to be used to cover electrical equipment. And the PCBs got into the water and the soil, and the rate of cancer and learning disabilities and skin problems among the people who lived in that community have just skyrocketed.
It's just amazing that these companies can get away with this, and it's criminal. It's just downright criminal, but yet they basically get a little bit of a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Maybe they have to pay some fines or something of that nature, but the damage that's been done is irreversible. And the fact that they have contaminated regions
just, exactly.
It's really heinous. And once again, it just continues. If atrazine, of course, every other day you're hearing something about atrazine, and it just amazes me that it's still allowed to be used.
Yes, and I think it's very amusing because it also causes cancer, but it is produced by the same company for which Lance Armstrong is a spokesman. It's a Swiss-based company. They don't even allow the same chemical, this atrazine, in Switzerland, but they produce it here and is used here. And then Lance Armstrong goes around the country saying he's an advocate for protection against cancer, but...
Well, maybe we should get Lance Armstrong on the show and have a little heart-to-heart with you,
That's
Alice.
That's a wonderful idea.
It's usually the slant that most of these chemical companies go by. They'll get some celebrity that will promote this, that, and the other thing to give their good guy image, when meanwhile they're basically contaminating the living hell out of everything everywhere else, especially in America, because it just seems as though we allow it, and therefore their feeling is, well, if the people are allowing it, then, you know, we should just keep giving them more and more. And the thing is that is not true. Americans do not want this. They are tired of it. They're very frustrated with all of the liberal, freedom, if you will, that these chemical companies have enjoyed for so many years. And now that they can basically donate unlimited funds to any campaign, any upcoming campaign, that's even more disturbing. But the bottom line is that you, when you're dealing with a large group of people, the people still have the final say-so, and if enough people speak up about it, believe me, it will change. I mean, this is so typical. It's happened throughout history. Only in this situation, it's, you know, the chemical companies are out of control. They're like wayward teenagers where, you know, there's got to be some discipline that comes in, and when it comes in, it's going to come in pretty hard. And I think this year there are going to be a lot of changes because people have been getting very frustrated the last couple of years, but people are really starting to speak out, and they're starting to vote with their dollars. They're starting to make better choices. They're starting to say, hey, you know what? I don't want this garbage. Don't sell it. Don't put it near me. I know
That's
in some of the garden
too.
Centers,
right.
I remember I was really amused. I went to this one particular garden center where there was a particular Roundup that was sold, and this lady just went ballistic on the manager, and she said, you know, what are you selling this? And it was nice to hear somebody else, you know, kick up their heels and just go off. And
yes. She was a well-educated woman.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that she was.
Yeah.
And very influential, I might
most
say.
Most American families don't seem to understand the dangers that are in the products that are so heavily advertised. Roundup is incredibly well advertised, and it's one of the leading products that is bought by America. Our research found that households use more pesticide for their gardens and their home and their pets than American agriculture. How's that for an astounding statistic? So
it doesn't surprise me because, I mean, people are so out of touch. If they see a spider, they freak out.
Yep.
But yet, you know, if they if they're eating something and they drop it on the street, they'll pick it up and eat it, which is, I don't know, I think that's completely
that's
disgusting. But yet,
really gross, isn't it?
Little teeny tiny spider that is not
yes.
going to do anything to them. They freak out about it and immediately break out the raid or whatever.
Yes.
And it just, I don't know, people. The more I know about people, the more I like animals. But, Alice,
but that's why
ask,
you and I are trying to do our best to talk about these issues so people, you know, so that we can be a bit of an influence against what the corporate line is, against what the huge advertising budget in America that makes these products seem so friendly and happy and useful.
Now, what's interesting is that there's so many products on the market that are produced by very big corporations that are actually good. And it's just that the companies that are producing the cheapest stuff possible and using the most toxic chemicals, these are the ones in question. It's just a matter of educating the public as far as what their choices are. And, you know, if you have a problem, doesn't necessarily mean that you need to use any particular chemical. Sometimes
yes.
there are other options. It's just that people tend to be lazy. They want something quick, they want it fast, they just want it resolved, and they just want to move on to the next thing. And that's
and
where they
been,
get into
these problems. They've been
advertised
into acquiescence. You know, because so many people don't even realize the harm that is in the products that are on the drugstore shelf, on the grocery store shelf, in the garden store shelf.
I know when I walk down the aisles, I get very sick quickly. I mean, I can't walk in a average-sized supermarket down the detergent aisle.
Yes.
I have to run down the aisle if it's something that I really need to subject myself to, and I basically have to cover my mouth because just a quick five-second walk down that aisle, my throat feels as though it's going to close
now,
up,
June,
and I start...
That smell comes from something called phthalates. Spelled terribly. It's phthalate. And they are one of the worst offenders in America. Phthalates are a chemical that are added to make the product get into the surface on which it is used more easily. And they are in a lot of... they're in... The candles, those fake candles that people use to make the air smell different.
Yeah, that's disgusting. And then the fake candles,
washing soap, etc.
Yeah.
But you look on the label and mostly you don't find it there. But anything that has a fake smell, no American should put in their house. I did an article about household cleaning products that I could mount on your website if you wanted.
Sure.
And it just makes your stomach turn because one after the other, they are full of mostly carcinogens, things that will give you and your kids cancer, but they'll also give you skin rashes and headaches and absolutely unnecessary and expensive.
Well, unfortunately, the marketers have convinced people that in order for their homes to smell fresher, I mean, I love that one Febreze commercial where they have these idiots that are blindfolded and walk into some type of hellhole that is laden with all sorts of debris and I don't know if it's a particular room that they just keep that way or if they do it on purpose, but clearly it's a disaster area, and they have these fools that walk in blindfolded claiming that they smell, you know, fresh meadows and this and that, and then they look a surprise when they take their blindfold off. I guarantee if I walked into that room, I would probably have tears running down my eyes from the smell, and not to mention the fact that my throat would probably close up just because of the reaction to the chemicals. I don't think I would last even a minute in a room with that many chemicals in it.
Yes.
And when I see people that buy the stuff by the case, it's like, what are you thinking? What are you doing to yourself and your family?
You've mentioned
and
one
even
of
your
the worst
pets.
Ones.
I mean,
right. Febreze is one of their very worst ones.
And yeah, they dump this stuff, and they think that it's going to make their room or their home smell more attractive. And it's like, you know something? There's something called soap and water. It works pretty well. Get used to it.
Right. A soap without a scent, unless you buy it in Switzerland.
Well, you know, something there are a lot of great American companies that produce organic soap. I happen to like Vermont Soap. They make a Castile-based soap. And,
yes.
You know, they have unscented. They have some soaps that have a mild scent, but for the most part, you know, it teaches its own. But when in doubt, use some baking soda, some... white vinegar, and,
And save a lot of money. You can go on vacation by the end of the year on the amount of money you save if you don't buy the crap that they sell in the store.
Now, Alice, I wanted to ask you if you could just talk about some of the families that you interviewed. I mean, when I began reading the book, just the different families that you went into detail about, I mean... I was really able to see what these folks were dealing with firsthand, and it's just amazing that they basically were located, some of these folks were located in the same area, and the fact that they shared so many common health, or so many, not common, but so many health problems in common, it was just disturbing. I mean,
But that's where you can see the picture more clearly when you go into a community where there are so many people, especially so many children who have something wrong with them. We started, in fact, our whole research started with a community outside of Nashville, a small town called Dixon, Tennessee, where there were a bunch of kids born all at the same time with cleft palates and cleft lips, and some of them had other illnesses, like their hearts were not working correctly. And why were they all born at the same time? Because they were all living in a newly developed area of a small town of Dixon, where they moved in. Their water tasted so beautiful that a lot of them said, "Oh my gosh, best water we ever tasted." And some of the families decided they were going to bottle and sell it. It was so good. And then a number of years later, when their children started to be born, their kids had all of these terrible birth defects. And eventually, the city wouldn't do anything about it. The local, the state health departments wouldn't help them. Eventually, they helped themselves. They made a map and put pins in the neighborhoods where these kids were born, and they were all born in the same place. Eventually, it turned out that the water was polluted with a chemical, a bunch of chemicals from a landfill that was leaking into the underground stream and ending up in their well. But the landfill was being used illegally, and the town did nothing. And to this day, this was about 20 years ago, to this day they are still fighting to get recompense for their kids. They've spent their own money on dozens and dozens of operations to try to repair the cleft palate and cleft lip. So that was Dixon, and that was our introduction to the fact that things can look so beautiful on the surface, and the local officials can be so blind to what is happening on purpose. From there, we went to places all over the country. Another one was in New Jersey, where there were many children born with autism, so many kids born with autism, that at one time that was the rate that was quoted as the national rate. And what was wrong there, too, was the water. A bunch of chemical companies were dumping their stuff illegally into the water supply, out the taps, and the kids were getting autism and other kids were getting cancer. It's very interesting how the same chemical can cause different illnesses in different people, and that's one of the interesting problems that science is working on, why it would show up as one illness in one child and a different illness in another child.
Well, it's environmental. I mean, you have water that's contaminated. You don't know how heavily concentrated the contamination is. Also, in conjunction with that, you don't know what other chemicals the individual is being exposed to bring about a particular result. And that's something that they don't really consider. And what's interesting is that this is a situation where the water is being contaminated, and you know, people don't knowingly drink contaminated water, but the thing is that it happens gradually, and these companies basically get away with murder. It's criminal,
literally.
And they should be prosecuted as such. The corporations in America are given the same rights as citizens, so they should be tried as criminals just as a citizen would. And that is something that needs to happen. With the upcoming presidential election, whoever gets in office or remains in office needs to start thinking about that, because there's going to be a reckoning, and this is what is in store. The time has come when people are getting so frustrated, they're tired of it, they're tired of watching their friends, their family members, and, you know, just reading the stories, hearing about it. Thanks to social media, you can hear about things instantaneously, even though the mainstream media doesn't report half of this stuff anymore, because they'd rather report garbage, you know, these reality shows, which are nothing more than fast food media. It's garbage. People want real information. They don't want the garbage anymore. They want to know what's going on. And that's why someone such as yourself, Alice, is so important. And just the fact that mainstream media hasn't really picked up on your book and done anything to showcase it is proof, you know, right there.
And in fact, the one mainstream media that did cover our book, well, actually the Boston Globe gave it a rave review, and all the scientific journals spoke very, very highly of the research and what we had written. But the one really large slate called it, just like they think there's no global warming, they said that this was all a made-up fact, that there really was no connection between toxins in the environment and the illness that we see in our kids and ourselves.
Are you able to say?
Slate?
Slate
Magazine. It was Slate online.
Well,
isn't that incredible?
Well, maybe they should start talking to some of the families that you mentioned. I mean, you met with so many people.
Yes. And the
It's impossible to make up that type of information, not to mention the fact that you used their real names.
Yes, we were allowed to use everybody's real names in the book, and we quoted all the scientists around the country who believe in this stuff. One of the problems is now that the scientific institutes, the national scientific institutes, are going to be funded at lower and lower levels. Their budgets are being cut just when we need them around to do better research on how to protect kids, what to do, better standards. So one of the things that I would advocate for was a higher level of funding for the health institutes around the country.
Well, that's basically because that's the segue for the Chemical Boys to come in, make donations to keep these institutions going, providing that they do research that serves their products.
Yes.
And that's been the name of the game for a very long time, and everybody knows it. The scientists that are actually doing independent research where they may be focused on a specific area of study and happen to stumble upon something through their research, which is very common, and that's how these people find the problems, these are the scientists that are being hunted down by the chemical companies.
Yes.
And they are being slandered, they are being attacked, and they are being discredited. There have been documentaries. There was a gentleman that I interviewed a couple months ago from the Netherlands, Bertram Verhaag, who produced a film called Scientists Under Attack, and he cites specific, very well-respected, very well-educated scientists who put out their findings, which didn't resonate with these companies, and they basically were railroaded. They were, in some cases, fired, harassed, told to keep quiet, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. And that is something that has become the norm. Too often, the scientists are being told that, well, you know, if you put this out there, then people, you know, it could hurt your future, this and that. And
yes.
It's really taking away from the scientific community. It's very difficult to get a PhD, and for this to be happening is just absolutely disgraceful, and it's got to stop.
And so what we should talk about someday is the way that people around the country, if they're interested, if they are as angry as you and I, what we can do together, right?
That would be another. I'm just passionate. I'm not angry.
Well, I'm angry. My husband is angry. I mean, this is happening to our kids. I do not want my country to become sold to the highest bidder.
I don't either.
Grandchildren to be sold to the highest bidder. And you know, if it's hard for us, it's so much harder for people who live in minority communities and low-income communities. We specifically, by the way, focused on middle-income families because we wanted to tell people, look, this is you. This is not just the guy at the low-income side of your community. This is your life. But the statistics also say that as hard as it is on my grandchildren, it's way harder on grandchildren who are poor or minority.
Well, I don't think anybody's exempt, Alice. I remember a colleague of mine who retired from the Department of Health once told me about some research that they came across in which they noticed that there were a number of very wealthy women that had breast cancer, and they were looking at the causes. And it was just kind of interesting that between the dry cleaning,
yes,
all their garments that had to be dry cleaned, to other chemicals that they were being subjected to, basically led to this cluster. And, you know, once again, it can affect anyone. So it's not that there's some type of conspiracy to target a specific community. It's ubiquitous. It is everywhere.
It is everywhere, exactly. So, in fact, I think the community that you were talking about is in the next town over from where I live, in a place called Newton, Massachusetts. I think that's where that study was done, but I'm not sure. And, in fact, dry cleaning is one of the chemicals that we have in our daily lives, most likely, and is something that you have to be very careful with not to have around your kid. In my town, we now can go to a dry cleaner who will use a washing technique that doesn't use this kind of chemical, perchloroethylene. Are you up on that one too, June?
I'm at a point where I'm making better choices when it comes to garments. I don't know. It's interesting. I've changed so much. I just remember there was a time when I always wore some sort of suit or, you know, dress or something that had to be dry cleaned. And at this point, I try not to buy any clothing that needs to be dry cleaned just because I don't want to deal with the whole situation of trying to find a dry cleaner that will use
this wet cleaning product.
Right.
And
it's just my decision.
Wear suits, and so things do need to be dry cleaned, but there are now alternatives that you can do, that you can choose. Just, you know, that's the bottom line, is that there are alternatives. There is absolutely no reason for corporations to continue to produce the dangerous stuff that they do produce. There are alternatives for everything. Corporations can make a very good profit without killing us. And
no, it's
that
interesting.
Is what we should be pushing for.
Exactly. And the other day on Twitter, I had someone that asked me, you know, what product can you buy to remove the pesticides from apples and other fruit? And I said, well, you know, at this point, they're using systemic pesticides, and it's not something that you can wash off or even cut the peel off. It's already in the fruit. So, you know, unless you're buying organic, you're getting a little bit more than you paid for, and that's basically the chemicals. So all the more reason why people need to understand that organic isn't just about paying for more. You're basically paying for products that are produced without all these toxic chemicals, which will cost you in the long run because it's going to cost you your health. And maybe it might not happen overnight, but in years to come, these chemicals will take its toll on your health.
Yes, and it is not cheap to take care of a kid with autism or with cancer, because parents always end up with a good part of that in their own pocket. The community in Dixon, Tennessee, where the kids had birth defects, a number of those families, now the parents are out of a job, and so their health benefits are cut off, and they are trying to take care of these kids with an awful disfiguration without any health insurance. I mean, the whole situation, it's just a bundle of one problem that feeds upon the other. But what we should start with is by making sure that the materials that enter our daily lives are not as dangerous as they are today. You know that America is 49th in the world in infant mortality. So there are obviously choices that our capitalist system could make that would keep our kids safer. We're down there with Poland and Estonia in terms of child mortality.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to believe that we're at this point, but once again, we've allowed it to happen. And the reason that I say that is because what it boils down to is what you purchase. There are a lot of people that are looking for the cheapest thing on the market. They'll shop at the cheapest store possible to get anything that basically will get the job done. But now, since the economy has taken the turn that it has, more people are starting to say, you know, enough is enough. I'm not going to just buy something because it's the cheapest thing on the market. I want to buy something that's going to give me the most for my money. And people are starting to pay attention to the quality, because the thing is that you can get more for your money if you buy white vinegar and some baking soda than if you spend, you know, a couple of bucks on a bottle of some type of cleanser that's only going to last you a few cleanings, whereas a gallon of white vinegar is very cheap, and that'll last you quite some time.
Perfect advice, I would say. You know, should I tell you about another community that
we visited? Please.
And this kind of pushes the conversation to a different place, which is about, it may not necessarily be a consumer choice, a choice of how we live, but a choice that is thrust upon us. And we went specifically to Texas because Texas has the highest rates of almost all the childhood illnesses in America, and which I thought was very funny because this was in the days of the George Bush administration. And we visited a community where all of the oil refineries were located.
Oh, of course.
And very amusingly, the high school, right in the middle of all this neighborhood of oil refineries, the air was so disgusting when you breathed it, you felt like vomiting. And the high school that was built there for the Hispanic students who live in that community was called an environmental high school.
Interesting.
Isn't that very amusing? So we need to think about ways not only not to buy and eat and live in places in our homes that are difficult, but also ways to change the way we manufacture, the kind of the basis of how we are structuring our company, our country. Oil is a dangerous product.
I think that Freudian slip was quite accurate. our company. That's
yes.
What it is. I mean, when
it
the politicians have this much control, where basically they own the politicians, yeah. And, you know, folks, I'm not anti-business. I'm very pro-business, and so is Alice. But when it comes to it, when it comes down to it, the corporations need to be responsible for their actions, especially if they are demanding that they have, are entitled to the same rights as citizens. Then, you know what? They should be treated as such and have the same responsibilities. But because they are not human, they're basically an entity with the sole purpose of simply pleasing their shareholders, because that is their only legal obligation. You know, that's when we come into problems.
Yes, and it is a very deep problem, because so many of the manufacturing processes in America are built on oil. I think it's 90% of every chemical that is used in America is made out of oil, and the way that we produce oil is dangerous for the people who live in those neighborhoods. And the Gulf, of course, was just one example.
Well, people have completely forgotten about the BP oil spill. And now BP is out there promoting Louisiana, which I think is hysterical. I mean, they haven't even cleaned the stuff up, but yet, you know, they're trying to get on the cheering squad and make like everything's all peachy keen. And I don't know, maybe it's because I don't live down there that I have a very good memory. And you know, it's frightening. It's really frightening that a company that has created that big of an environmental disaster is just trying to boost their image and make like, oh, nothing's happened.
And then we forget. We Americans seem to forget so easily.
That's why you have people like me that are out there to remind you.
Right, and the people who listen to your radio show probably care.
Hey, millions of people can't be wrong.
Including us.
Exactly. But so what did you find in this particular environmental high school or school? What were the common illnesses that these kids had?
Almost every single one of them had asthma or some kind of breathing disorder.
Oh, of course, especially with the air being...
yes, that was an obvious one. And a lot of them had behavioral problems because mercury causes all kinds of problems, autism being the leading one, but I think perhaps that my grandson had been exposed somehow to mercury, and it causes ADHD and other kinds of learning disorders. And their parents and grandparents had a very high rate of deaths from at an early age from cancer. So they were like the guinea pigs for as bad a place as you could live in. And they produced a T-shirt with a death's head on it, and the name of the school, the environmental high school, imposed over a death's head. The kids knew what was happening. But
the
you
kids
can't,
are not
you know, if you're in that
no?
neighborhood, you can't move away. You don't have the resources to
and
move
can
away.
Can you actually elaborate about that very subject? Because a lot of people have said, you know, why don't these folks just up and move? Why do they stay in these neighborhoods?
Yes.
If they're sick and if they know that the water's contaminated, why don't they just up and leave?
And that was the case in Dixon, Tennessee, that we first started, where all the kids had birth defects. So many of that little generation was born with birth defects. First, a number of them in the recent years have lost their jobs. But secondly, it was clear because of all of the news that these kids, there was a whole generation of children born with birth defects, and it was from the water that they were drinking. Who is going to buy the house? If you leave your house and it is known that the house is the cause of birth defects, who's going to buy that house? And how can you afford to walk away from a house if you are middle-income American? So they are stuck where they are, a lot of them paying for their children's health out of their own pockets, and kids like that need special education because they can't speak correctly if they have a really bad birth defect, cleft palate. So their entire financial life is ruined, as well as their children's health. Therefore, it's kind of mean to say, why don't they pick up and move somewhere else? They absolutely have no choice. You know, that's very sad. It's heartbreaking.
And how common is this, Alice, where the families that you interviewed had that very same problem?
You know, I didn't study it, but if I had to guess, I would say at least 80%. Because we're talking about middle-income people, or in the case of Texas, those were low-income people, they are stuck. They cannot leave where they are. We also interviewed a number of families where the parents were very well off. But by then, in fact, the one who was near the nuclear plant whose water was polluted, they did. The father was a doctor, and they left. He went, and they moved to a different state, in fact. But their child already has brain cancer. So they moved so that their other girls would not be harmed, but the harm has been done. And I have the same story of an amazing family whose son was harmed by mining wastes in a beautiful town of Idaho. The mining industry had polluted the water in the nearby lake. It looked so pristine that the family, who was very well off, moved there because they thought, what a beautiful place to raise a child. And it turned out the water there was polluted by the mining tailings, and he got brain cancer too. And in fact, they did not move. They wanted to stay and fight. And so they're fighting for better quality of life in that beautiful town that is really so polluted.
Wow.
That's an amazing story.
It's just amazing that this stuff is just going on in this
country. Everywhere. From a beautiful, quiet lakeside town in Idaho to an oil refinery neighborhood in Texas to a very middle-class place in New Jersey. It's everywhere.
What was the one area that you found seemed to have the most most issues? I guess, which region, should I say?
The
was
south.
It more located
to
the West Coast, East Coast?
Nope. The south.
Really?
The statistics of illness in the south are roughly doubled that of the rest of the country. And I, you know, if you were to ask me, I would say that it's the lack of control of what the corporations are doing. The dirty word, regulation. The corporations in the South are less well regulated than anywhere else. The electric power companies, you know, spew forth more stuff than anywhere else. The waters are polluted, the air is polluted. And one last thing I want to say that my husband pointed out to me today, when I told him we were talking, he said, the bees are dying and the trees are dying because the trees
dying.
In the south are dying because of the same problems. They're all related. It's all the same problem that we're polluting the world we live in.
I mean, Percy Schmeiser was just on the show a few days ago, and he even said it's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the ground, it's everywhere, and it's getting to the point where they're suffocating us.
Yes, exactly. And the reason that the trees are dying all throughout Appalachia, one of the worst places in America to live is Appalachia, and the trees are dying because they are weakened by the pollution that is in the air all around them. Therefore, they cannot sustain themselves when anything happens. Bug. If a tree bug appears and the tree itself is weakened from air pollution, the tree will die, and that's what's happening all across Appalachia.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're getting to a point where it used to be that you never heard about this stuff to it's so commonplace to it's going to be a rarity to find someone who's actually healthy.
Yes.
And it's really disgusting that it's not that, but unfortunately that's where we're at this point.
So next time we have to talk about solutions.
Yes, and unfortunately, Alice, we are out of time, but you know, the one solution that I will offer is that the public has a choice, and that is when they're buying whatever it is that they're buying, to choose products that
yes.
do not contribute to the further contamination of the environment, and to be aware of what's going on. And if there is something going on in your own neighborhood, speak up about it and do something about it. These elected officials, without their constituents, they won't have jobs. So it's up to you to really reach out to these folks, send them letters, email them, go
right.
on Twitter, go on, say whatever
right.
you have to say. Make sure that
and
they
read
understand
my book
that you're tired of it.
The appendix in our book, Poison for Profit, is a really handy guide to how to protect your kids as much as you can.
Thank you. And Alice, can you give our audience your website?
Yes, it's poisonedforprofit.net. And I would love to hear from people because I'm setting up, and we should talk about this, June, setting up a network whereby parents could talk to each other about the problems and the solutions and maybe get together and do some organizing.
Thank you. And folks, also follow Alice on Twitter at
Thank
Poison
you so much
to Profit,
for tuning in.
As well as on Facebook.
With the
Alice,
Organic
thank
Radio
you so much
Show.
For coming
Have
on the show today.
Everyone.
As always, it's great having you.
Thank you, June. I'm so grateful that you do the job you do.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. Folks, please pick up a copy of Poison for Profit, The Toxic Assault on Our Children. I mean, the more information that you give yourself and arm yourself with, the more that you can understand exactly how bad it is, the more people will take action and speak up about it. As I said, vote with your dollars.